Blog Talk Radio.
Yep.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
To the Most High.
Hi, I'm actress Aaliyah Muhammad, and you're listening to the E-Man After Show, right here on We Talk Radio. This is where we talk, we listen, and we take action.
We Talk Radio Network has something for everyone, with shows featured every single day of the week, which means you can join us every day and have fun every day. And if you got a business, feel free to join us and advertise your business right here on our platform on WeTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to The Sound.
Y'all hear that?
Online radio station heard globally. We feature the best radio shows, the most amazing hosts, and hot topic panelists. We produce and support fabulous events globally as well. We work with the most dedicated community partners, period, point blank. I started We Talk Radio Network in 2010, and guess what?
Over 10 years later, we are still going strong.
Celebrating and providing the best radio shows, best special guests, the most incredible music, blogs, events, and more. We have informative shows, inspirational shows, music shows. We even have two youth shows. We invite you to be a part of the family. And you can do that by following us on all our social media platforms and by going to www.wetalkradio.com. WeTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, it is WeTalkRadio.com. We're back on the E-Man After Show. We want to thank all you guys that's coming in on the phone line on tonight, that's coming in on the network. The time ticker is going off over here on WeTalk Radio Network. We want to thank all of you guys over there on Southern Soul Artists around the Globe Radio Network that's listening on tonight. It's the E-Man After Show. Well, we're ready to bring Bishop in. We got Bishop Tamara Tumble. She's with us on tonight. She's getting ready to teach us the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We want to thank all you guys that's joining us by way of the network. Mandy, let's see if we can bring the Bishop in.
All right.
Bishop Tamara Tumble, good evening.
Good evening, good evening, good evening.
Well,
how are you all tonight?
Man, we're excited. We're excited and delighted. We are peacock proud.
Yes, we are.
High and happy and edifully elated to have you.
Oh, wow. Yes, we are.
Okay, Bishop, peacock proud.
Right? Right.
Yes, we're so excited to have you to stop by the E-Man After Show on tonight. Why? Because, it's Bible study night, and we so always honored to have a word delivered to us, and I'm kind of down into the month where it's the latest time, and we want to start out with the Bishop.
Yes,
Dr. Templeton, man, it's just so just a pleasure to speak with you again on tonight. Me and my little chocolate chip, my little chocolate drop over there. Bishop, I started calling her chocolate chip a few years ago. Now people refer to her as my little chocolate. What do they call you, man?
Chocolate drop.
Some of everything.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Tamara Thomas, to those, because we're on another network, Dr. Tamara Thomas, we are, God has opened up a few windows over here, and we just walking in his blessings, and he allowed us to go on another network, and we're added another 160 countries. So out to all of you over there on Southern Soul Artists around the Globe Radio Network, even including France, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They're listening on tonight. And Dr. Tamara, for those new listeners that never heard of you, just tell us just a little bit about yourself and who you are and all that you do just before we turn you loose into the Word of God.
Well, praise God. Thank you so much for the invitation to come on the E-Man After Show with E-Man and Mandy. I count it an honor and a blessing to even be asked to come and share with you on tonight what God is saying. And just a little bit about me is I've been in ministry, licensed, consecrated since 96. I can't even remember the year. It's been so long ago.
Yeah.
Been working in ministry, teaching and sharing and loving God and working as a career as a chiropractor and a stress and anger management coach as well as a executive, nonprofit executive. And the rest is all God. Now, the first and foremost is all God. The rest is the secular career. But just that I love God. I love his word. I love teaching his word. I love studying his word. And most of all, I love living by his word and believing in his word. And
yes.
So that's enough, right?
Yeah, I understand. Yes, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Well, Dr. Tamara Thomas, on tonight, we getting ready to turn you loose and let you go in your own way. And kind of the way we do that, as the phones, the lines are lit up, those that come around and listen to this Bible study on every first Sunday night, sometimes they have questions and sometimes they don't, because a lot of times you could teach the Word of God so plain it could be edifying. And a lot of times they don't have questions, and if they do, they'll hit option one and we'll bring them in. But tonight, you can go on your own way, and don't no one hit option one, me and Amanda do a wrap-up with you, and we'll just go from there. So, you're able to go on your own way. You got up to 11 o'clock. I don't know if you're going to go that long, but you got up to 11 o'clock, at least close to 11. then me and Amanda just come back, and we'll do a wrap-up with you.
Yes.
So, God bless you. You can go on your own way. We'll be on the other side listening. We'll chime in, every now and then. But we on the other side soaking it up just as well. Yes, ma'am. Well, it's all yours.
Amen.
You can go on your own way, ma'am.
All right. Praise God. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for calling the E-Man After Show to bring Bible study on the first Sunday nights, God. What a blessing. And so, Lord, we just open up the airways and our minds and our thoughts so that you can speak to our hearts, Lord, and ignite us to be not only more like you, but to be representatives of heaven in the earth, Lord. Show us your will yes. and your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I praise God for tonight. I just want to talk a little bit and encourage a little bit tonight about being conduits of change, being a conduit of change, because we see so many people going through life challenges in one way or another, and sometimes it can get pretty tough. And I can't tell you how many conversations I have throughout the day with people who are believers but are going through something one way or another, and it just seems a little bit tough in this season. And even as a believer, your faith can be challenged sometimes
yes.
by the things that we go through. So, but the Bible tells us that we only have one fight to fight, and that's the good fight of faith.
Oh,
so I
yes.
want to encourage everyone tonight to just fight that fight of faith, praise God, even in times of despair and hopeless and depression and oppression and feeling sometimes faithless because of the conditions of this world. The Bible did not tell us we weren't going to go through things at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it did share with us that we will go through things, but it
right.
tells us, I don't know how many times, I believe it may be, if I'm correct, 200 and something times. I have to look at it again, that the Bible tells us to be courageous, to be
yeah.
courageous,
oh, yes.
meaning we're going to go through some things. But greater mm-hmm. is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And so mm-hmm. I find that in this time of coming post, you know, I'll say post-COVID, although we're not really post-COVID. COVID
mm-hmm.
is flaring up again, as a matter of fact. But in this time, so many people went through that time of not working and not, you know, having that income coming in. And the government kind of shielded us a little bit and gave us some, you know, some help a little bit. And so people went for months and even year, you know, having their rent paid or light bill paid or getting food or, you know, all of those things. But now since we're kind of shifting, I find that people are starting to feel the heat again of the cares of this world. And it's set, of course, by design, because the enemy would have us to, you know, turn our backs away from faith and turn it toward being hopeless and being needy and being worldly. But we're in a place now that God has specifically designed for us to rise as the church and to rise in our faith and to be the church that he's called us to be in the earth. And so many are looking and expecting something to happen, you know, to bring about a change. Lord, I'm going through. Do you hear me? You know, is it going to be the government coming again? Is it going to be the lottery? Somebody going to win the lottery and give me some money, you know? Is it going to be a miracle falling out the sky? What is it going to be, you know, even with family members going through? What is it going to be, Lord? Where is our help? What's going to be bring about the change in the earth that we need? Because we're hoping and waiting that God is going to send something. And I've seen pastors walk out of the pulpit and leave the church and shut down the doors of the church, not to have another assignment that God has sent them on, but to shut it down because they're hopeless. So they're going through it. They don't see no way out or see any money or see any way to make it. The church, in a lot of ways, has become very hopeless and helpless, waiting on God to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to come tonight with good news for you. Good news that change is already here, and that change is you. You're the vehicle
yes.
that God is going to use to bring change in the earth. The church is sent to impact the earth with the principles and precepts of the kingdom of heaven. We're to bring about a change in the world. We are to bring the change in the world. We are the conduits or the vehicles by which change comes to the earth. You know, a conduit is a means of transmitting or distributing something out. It's a vehicle used to spread or convey something. And I want you to know tonight that we are the vehicle through which change is going to take place in the earth. The only hope that the earth has is God. The only hope that the earth has is Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge you to do something different in 23 and 4 as Christians. I challenge you to be the change that you're waiting for. I challenge you to be that change by believing and walking and sharing that God is the answer that makes the difference in our lives. I challenge you to rise up as believers and truly believe the word of God. I challenge you to be courageous in this day and time, even when it seems like everything is against you. I challenge you, hallelujah, to rise up and be ambassadors of heaven in the earth. Praise God. And I know you've heard that, you know, the saying insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. My question is, why is it that the church appears to be the hardest group of people in the earth to accept change or to be the vehicle that change comes through? Why are we stuck? Why are we not moving? Why are we not shifting with God? The whole earth is shifting in this time. Why is the church not shifting? Why are we standing stagnant? Because whether we like it or not, America and the world is changing. Hallelujah. Why is the church doing the same old things and expecting the miraculous? We've got to shift with God. We've got to flow with the Spirit. We've got to be sensitive to the voice of God and move when he says move and do when he says do. And when challenges and situations and things come upon us, we have to rise up and speak the word of God, hallelujah, over those things, not just speaking and not just declaring, but believing and walking in that faith. We want to, you know, retreat back a lot of times, and we want to meet at the church and have prayer and scripture and two songs and maybe hear an encouraging word and pray an emotional prayer and then go home looking for the next prophet or word, prophetic word to come forth, waiting on somebody to bring us a prophetic word, but only to just go and forget about it and then go on to the next thing. You know, we go to Sunday, get a good word from the pastor or a word from the prophet. It's good and things are good. And Monday morning, things are back to, oh, God, woe is me. What can I do, Lord? I need help. Well, I need light bill money. I need gas. I need food. Lord, my children, you know, all of these things that we say and speak that are not the word of God, are not truth and are not reality, but because we're not walking in the spirit but in the flesh, we're feeling all of the hardships of the flesh. So I challenge you to walk in the spirit. Hallelujah. Begin to speak those things that aren't as though they were because you believe it and you know that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We've got to be able to let go of the past. Hallelujah. And embrace the change that's needed for the future and that changes us. Praise God. A lot of times we don't want to move with God, but we want God to move with us.
Come on,
we
man.
Don't want to move when God says move, and we don't want to do what God says do, and we don't want to believe what God says, but we want God to move with us and move how we need him to move. Praise God. Oh, Jesus,
yeah.
We got this thing backwards. We got to take on the mind of Christ. But let me get in the word. The book of 1 Samuel describes the transition or the change from judges ruling over Israel to kings ruling over Israel. And so I'm just going to take my time tonight, and we're going to read the word. I love the word of God, and I love reading the word of God. And so I'm going to actually read some scripture to you tonight.
Right ahead.
And I'm going to start with 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it says, "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, 'Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations.' But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so that they are doing so to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. God saying, listen to them. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. They praying for a king. Show them the king that's going to reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king, and he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. Since you're not satisfied with God, this is my paraphrasing, since you're not satisfied with God reigning over you and you want an earthly king like the other nations, this is going to be the kind of king that you're going to get that's going to reign over you. He'll take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He'll take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers, and he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. Then he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants, and you will cry out in that day because your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go. For we're begging for a king. They were not satisfied with God being king. In this text, we see that Samuel, who was the last judge and the first prophet in some time, is getting ready to appoint and anoint Saul as the first king of Israel. Praise God. Somebody say, change is coming. Just say, change is coming. What's amazing is that the people had cried out for a king. They cried out for a king. We want to be like the other nations. But when God gave them the change that they begged for, there were still those that were in rebellion and then despised the change that he brought to them, the change that they prayed for. It was a change they asked for, but not the change that they wanted. How many of us ask God for stuff and he give it to us and we find out it wasn't what we really wanted? This change didn't look like what they thought it should look like or come from where they thought it should come. See, Saul was a Benjamite, which is the smallest of the tribes, and he even said in chapter 9 that his family was the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. The change, and then we judge that change. They wouldn't have asked. They wouldn't have asked from somebody from the smallest of the tribes, who, you know, mm-hmm. they just a nobody. You know, we want somebody from the largest tribe, a big tribe. You know, we always got something more that we want. But they asked for this change, and then they judge the change, accepting mm-hmm. it only if it meets their standards, or rejecting it if it wasn't their own idea of what change should look like. We do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the transition from this going from traditional church as we know it to the revelation of the kingdom in which mm-hmm. we are receiving today and have been sometimes, a lot of people got hurt by traditions and bondages through this.
Right.
They even hold church conferences now called Healing from Church Hurts. For a while there, it became a movement. We got church hurts. We got to heal from church hurts because they were stuck in the old ways of tradition. They did not want to move to kingdom. Did not want to move to not just going to a religious setting, to going to now having dominion and authority in the earth as ambassadors of heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. In the midst of change, those who are the very conduits of change said they were injured. And now they refuse to move forward because it's not the change that they approved of. So they said, I'm leaving the church. I'm leaving. I don't want to be a part of the church anymore. The church is wrong. The church is bad. The church hurt me. Why? Because you asked for change, but you didn't accept the change that God sent. I'm not saying that you can't get hurt in church, but we're the body of Christ, and there are no victims in the kingdom. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We are to rise up and be healed through the word of God, hallelujah, and by our faith. So I came to tell somebody that because our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts, we as the people of God have got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. We got to learn how to flow in a renewed mind of worship and reverence. We got to accept what God allows and be the vehicles of change that he uses. Hallelujah. I remember, as a young woman, I remember that a point in time we had many single women in the church, you know, when I was a young woman. So we began to pray under the leadership of the pastor's wife. And I've told this story several times, but we began to pray under the leadership of the pastor's wife for men and husbands to come into church during the midday prayer because we had become a church full of women. And we looked around, where are the men? Where are the men that are to lead us and guide us through this thing? So we began to pray for men and husbands to come into church. And so shortly after, the Lord sent a man of God in my own life, a man that loved God as much as I did, and if it's at all possible, more than I did. I doubt it's possible, but we're on the same wavelength. Praise God. And on the day that he told me, that I met him, he told me that I was his wife. On the first day, I thought it was crazy. He told him that the Lord had told him that day already that I was his wife. And I'm thinking, this man is crazy. I'm not fixing to be his wife. I'm not marrying him. The Lord was not letting me speak it out of my mouth, but this is what's going on in my mind as I'm talking to this man. It took me just a few weeks before I was extremely, seeking God on what is going on. What is going on? See, I was extremely happy in the church. I was kind of like Anna in the church. I worked at the church. I lived down the street from the church. I worked at the church. I took care of the church. I was the only one at the church most times unless my pastor was there or during the day when people would come to pray. But I was the keeper of the house. And so I was extremely happy working in the ministry and completely sold out for Christ as a young woman. And that was my whole entire life. It's almost as if I was in a bubble, at the church all the time and in prayer and seeking God and studying his word. And I didn't really want anything interrupting my relationship with God. Although I desired a husband, I didn't want anything interrupting my relationship with God. And my husband, he came in like a storm. Eman and Mandy, of course, knowing my husband, he didn't come quiet. He came in like a storm. He was bold, full of faith, a worker in the kingdom, and worked just as hard as I did. Praise God.
Yes.
And God had to really convince me, but because my life was centered in prayer and the word and faith, it didn't take me a long time to be convinced. Whatever God said, that's what it was. And the Lord told me that to marry this man and that was it. I didn't ask any questions. As a matter of fact, my pastor said, you telling me already you're in love with this man? I said, no. Nope. He said, what? I said, I'm telling you that God told me he was my husband and to marry him because it had only been a few weeks. And I was just that in tune with God and close to God. And we didn't know each other. We got married in three months, and it's been almost 24 years. Praise God. People have been telling me for a year prior to his coming that I was getting ready to get married, and I joke with him and say, he must be walking because it sure is taking him a long time to get here. But when he came, it seemingly was overnight. God had given me some instructions to cut some ties and prepare myself, and immediately after following all the instructions, it happened. And I was so surprised that I went to the council with my pastor's wife. It took me by shock, and her response to me was, we've been praying for men and husbands, and because God didn't send them like you thought, you're going to miss out on your blessing. And I had been in every one of those prayer meetings praying for husbands to come and men to come into church, and it didn't even dawn on me that this is what God was doing. It took her saying to me, this is what we've been praying for, because it's not the change that you were looking for, and the way you were looking for, you're about to miss out on the blessing. So it's amazing that God has sent what we prayed for. And I wasn't the only one. We had several weddings back to back within a year in the church. And one of my God sisters and I married within 2 weeks of each other. And my best friend, Lanita, married in 11 months of that. And like I said, it's been 24, this year in December, it'll be 24 years. Praise God that we're all still married. And so the amazing thing about all of this is that in all of the immediate change that had taken place in my life so quickly, it never dawned on me until she said it that this was the change that I asked for. I thank God, hallelujah, for believers who believe in a spiritual leader who had the wisdom to open my eyes to change. We can't get so stuck that we're not able to move and flow with the Spirit of God, that we're not able to change when God says change. And so, like I said, we married and 3 months later, you know, we were married, and it's been 24 years of marriage. And we've had some trials and we've come through some things, but we're victorious, still in love, still enjoying the ride, still serving God together. Next to God, you know, he's been the best thing that ever happened to my life. He's been the one that's prayed over me, the one that has encouraged me into things of God, the one that is I see praying, the one that I see living by faith. Praise God. But to get back to the point, my point is that I prayed for change, going from being single to married, but I almost missed the change because it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I didn't know that he was going to be my greatest supporter. I didn't know he was going to be my encourager and a friend. Praise God. Why am I talking about this change? Let's move on. Why am I talking about it? I'm talking about it because our world is changing.
Oh, yes.
That's why we're uncomfortable. That's why things aren't the same. That's why we're seeking God for, Lord, when is it going to come? Where's the help? What is going on? Why am I challenged on every side? I'm challenged at work. I'm challenged at home. I'm challenged in my family. I'm challenged at church. I'm challenged on every side. Why? It's because the world is changing, and we're trying to remain the same. The world no longer recognizes the church because we all look. How can we be the change people need when we're not changing? The body of Christ is at a critical point now where if we don't move with God, we will lose our witness in America and even in the world. People of God, for the change we need, it's going to take some right now faith, some uncommon faith, and some radical faith. Some right now faith, right now. Some uncommon faith. It's going to look different. And some radical faith. What I mean by right now faith is seen in John chapter 5 concerning, you know, concerning a man with an infirmity for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. And this message is a message all by itself. But I'm gonna go ahead and read verses 1-9. It says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Now, just imagine in your mind, this man has had this condition for 38 years, and he is steadily all these years sitting by the pool of Bethesda waiting for the water to be stirred up. And Jesus comes on the scene, and he looks at him and says, look, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another step down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Now this is a whole message that I love to minister, and I'm not gonna stand there, but all of that word has meaning. But I want you to get in your mind that this man had been having an infirmity for 38 years and sitting laying by this pool of Bethesda, and when the angel comes and stirs up the water, Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? And he has excuses. His environment for 38 years hadn't changed. He was one of lying around all day, spending every day with sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed people, waiting on change to come. Look at the environment he was in. He was waiting and waiting on a specific time for the angel of the Lord to stir the water. And then he had to wait and pray that someone would come and put him in the pool before anyone else could get there. Otherwise, he was on that same waiting list again. I can just hear the saints of today saying, I'm waiting on God. I can also hear God saying, I'm waiting on you. So here the man is waiting, and Jesus seeing him lying there, and he asks him, do you want to be made well? The man begins to do what most of us do, who don't really want change. Because most of us don't. We say we do, but we don't. Because if we did, we would rise up and be believers.
Oh, yes.
So we did what most of us do, who don't really want change, and he began to give excuses and trying to sound all pitiful. I'm here waiting, and I can't get in the pool, and I'm waiting
right.
on somebody. Don't nobody get here quick enough, sounding all pitiful. Not realizing he's talking to Jesus. But Jesus tells him to rise up and take up your bed and walk, and immediately he was healed. He didn't tell him, put your toe in the water, put your finger in the water, get up and do something. He told him to get up and walk. 38 years of the same old, and one word from the Lord changed it all. The man was looking for a man to help him when Jesus was right there. That's some right now faith is what he needed. He was looking for a certain time when the time had always been right now. Hallelujah. All he needed was faith. He was seeking for some pity when all he needed was some faith.
Mm-hmm.
People of God, all you need is some right now faith to bring about a change. Because for the change we need, it's going to take right now faith, uncommon faith, and some radical faith. Let's talk about uncommon faith. John chapter 4. Let's look at John chapter 4,
mm-hmm.
verse 5. Praise God. I'm going to give you some scriptures. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus told her to give him a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, you know, this reminds me of, let me say this, this reminds me of people who have the excuse, I'm a sinner. God ain't going to do it for me because I'm a sinner. He may not hear me because I'm a sinner. God may not answer me because I'm a sinner. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? She was really being a little bit sarcastic. And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I should give him will never thirst. But the water that I should give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. She's still thinking of water in the natural. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. Can you believe that? So Jesus said, woman, believe me. Believe me. Believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Listen at this. They marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you think, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Come, could this be the Christ? And I'm going to stop right there. So there's a woman of Samaria who came to the well to get a drink and met up with Jesus. And so Jesus began a conversation with her, which was not common. It was not common for him to do that because she was a Samaritan and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
After meeting with Jesus, he changed her life, and let's see what she do. She was perhaps the first Samaritan evangelist because she immediately went to the city to the men and began to tell them about Jesus. Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? For this woman to go to the city and to the men, she had to have some uncommon faith. Why? Because she didn't care if they thought she was crazy. Say, you lying. You haven't talked to a Jew. You're a Samaritan. And definitely not the Christ because you're a woman. This woman, after having an encounter with Jesus, displayed faith that was not common. People of God, you need some uncommon faith to operate in a worldly society and in a traditional church environment. We as the people of God in this day and time and hour, we got to have some uncommon faith. We got to be able to meet and talk and hear Jesus and to be able to walk in that thing no matter what people think or say or whether they believe us or not. We got to have some uncommon faith. We need to believe when it doesn't seem like, feel like, or even look like it's possible. We need to believe when you look dumb, stupid, and crazy to those that don't understand. Why? Because believers believe. Believers believe.
Oh, yes.
For the change we need, it's going to take some right now faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some uncommon faith. And my God is surely going to take some radical faith.
Yes.
We can no longer sit around and get beat up on the enemy and get beat up on the lies of the devil. We got to get radical about this faith that we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Let's talk about radical faith. The woman with the issue of blood had radical faith. Mark 5 and 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I should be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, I'm going to stop right there. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. I'm going to stop right there. I'm 34. Can you imagine going 12 years, 12 long years, financially exhausted trying to be healed, suffering from treatments of many different doctors that couldn't figure out the issue, that never brought forth healing to you, And people have made you an outcast because of something that you have no control over. Because she was unclean, considered unclean because of her affliction of blood. But this woman right here, oh, my God, this woman had radical faith because she pressed her way through a crowd of hypocritical, self-righteous people who were mostly there just for the show. They were there to see what Jesus was going to do next. They wanted to see the show, and yet they were hypocrites. They were self-righteous. They didn't want her touching them. They didn't want her even in the place. But she pressed on, shaking and all, to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She was determined. She had radical faith. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. This had never even happened before, so she didn't even know if it was going to work. But by faith, she believed that it would work. Faith, she touched the virtue of God and demanded that miracle in her life through her faith. People of God, you need some radical faith to move with God in the spirit while living in the earth. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Radical faith is courageous faith. It's daring and bold, and most of all, it's spirit-led faith. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
For the change that we need is going to take place in the earth. For that change, we need some right now faith. We need to believe right now. We need to believe in the moment. We need to believe every moment of the day. We need right now faith. We need some uncommon faith. We need to believe for things that we can't do ourselves, that our own skills and our own intellect and our own education and our own strength cannot do. We need some uncommon faith to believe God for things that don't look like it's going to ever be possible. We need some radical faith, some bold and courageous faith. Hallelujah. Some persevering faith. Hallelujah. I'm talking about embracing and being the vehicle of change when you don't understand exactly what's ahead. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Praise God. You don't know how you're going to get there. You don't know how it's going to happen. But as ambassadors of heaven, you don't create the change. You're just a messenger and the vehicle by which the King of Kings brings about the change in the earth. Hallelujah. I remember when I first started pastoring, the Lord told me, you don't have to change the people. I'll change the people. You teach the people how to love me, and the closer they get to me, those things will fall off of them. I'll do the changing. You just teach them how to love me. Hallelujah. How to fall in love with me, how to believe me, how to walk in me. I'll do the changing. Praise God. We are not the change. We are the conduits and the vehicles by which God is going to bring the change in the earth. Our job is to be yielded vessels of honor, meet for the master's use. Allow the potter to mold and make you to be what he can use for his glory. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's look at something here. The first thing that happened when God began to change things around Saul's life, going back to Saul, is that he called him and he ordained him. The first thing that he did is he called him and he ordained him. See, a lot of times we get the call and we get the sanctification and he sets us apart for it, and we don't feel like we're ready, we don't feel like we're equipped, we don't feel like any of that. But 1 Samuel 9:17 says, and when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, the same shall reign over my people. He called him and he ordained him. And then in 1 Samuel 10:1, it says, then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head. And has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? In order to embrace and be conduits of change, we've got to know that we have been called and anointed for this thing. You got to believe that God has called you and anointed and chosen you. Praise God. There's no time to sit down, and we don't have time to be frustrated and wallow in church hurts or any hurts at all. We don't have time to wait and see what the end is going to be, as we always say. The word tells us what the end is going to be. The end is we have the victory. The change that's coming through us, we have to work to do, and it's going to take everybody. We have work to do, and it's going to take everybody. We have the work to do. Praise God. We're not waiting around trying to see what the end's going to be. We know what the end is. The end's already been written. Hallelujah. God is waiting on us. While we're waiting on him, he's waiting on us to do. See, we want to take all the promises of God and claim the promises of God. But with every promise in the word of God, God has given us something to do, even if it's nothing but believe me this day. God always gives us something to do. Praise God. Why? Because we're his children. We're the people in the earth. We're the ambassadors of heaven in the earth to carry out the will and way of the Father. We don't just sit around waiting to see what the end's going to be. We got the end. We are the end. The U.S. and the world are waiting. They're crying and screaming for change. But guess what? The president nor the government is not God. Neither can they do what God has called and anointed the church to do. The church has got to rise up and be the conduits of change that the world needs. We got to do it. We got to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. We are the change that the world is looking for. Just tell yourself, I'm the change. I'm the change that the world is looking for.
Yes.
And the reason why things don't seem like they're working out for me is because I'm not standing up and rising up and being that change. No matter what it looked like, seemed like, or feel like, I got a right to, God has given me the right to speak those things as though they weren't, as though they are. I'm sorry. God has given me the right to speak life and death over a situation. Hallelujah. God has given us the power. And sometimes it's so very easy to fall in a corner and stay in the bed and get under the covers and lay in the dark and say, woe is me, and God, I'm tired. Lord, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else I can do. When you can't do nothing else, you can rise up and begin to decree and declare the word of God over your life.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. You can become renewed in the spirit of your mind through the word of God if you can't do nothing else. The second thing God did was change Saul's heart. So he called him, anointed him, and then he changed his heart. 1 Samuel 10:9 reads that Saul turned to leave Samuel. God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. When he and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, what is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Hallelujah. See, when God calls you and when he appoints you and anoints you and then he changes your heart and you are open to be moved by the Spirit of God whenever he needs you, you are now a yielded vessel of honor. And so now here's Saul, and he comes among the prophets, and the spirit of prophecy comes upon him, and he begins to prophesy. If you yield, the spirit will have his way. Yield to God. Hallelujah. You don't have to create the change. Just be the messenger that God uses to bring about the change. Hallelujah. You can be called by God, and nothing happens. A lot of people are. Called by God and nothing happens. Why? 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 Hallelujah. Because we are still looking for God to do something when God says, I've given you my power. Jesus is in you and the Holy Spirit is in you. I've given it to you. Everything that you need, I've given to you. Hallelujah. Once you accept the call, you have a heart change that is driven by the mission and the calling on your life. Hallelujah. I remember when God spoke to me concerning the call of God on my life to teach the word of God. You know, after meeting with my pastor, you know, he confirmed it and placed me in the children's ministry right out. Because he asked me, do you want to preach Sunday? Because he already knew. Not that he, you know, somebody just came up to him and said, God called me to preach. And he was like, oh, you want to go up and preach Sunday? He already knew. But he was waiting on me to know. And so when God brought it to me and I took it to him, he confirmed it instantly. He already knew. She was like, you ready to preach Sunday? And I, in the fear that was in me, no, no, no. I'm not ready. So he said, okay, well, what about this? Why don't you start in children's ministry? Why don't you start teaching in children's ministry? And, of course, I took that easy way out. I was like, yeah, okay, good. The children understand what I got to say. So after he confirmed it and placed me in children's ministry, the Lord began to really move. So here it goes. I accepted the call and the assignment. And then once I began to read the Word of God in order to teach it to the children, God began to open up the Word to me like never before.
Yes.
And then I fell in love with teaching the Word of God. I fell in love with reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God and dissecting the Word of God. Hallelujah. But first, I had to accept the call and the anointing and the appointment without even knowing I could do it, without even knowing where God was taking me.
Yeah.
And then I had to have a heart change. And then once I accepted it and began to apply myself, God began to open up things to me. Hallelujah. An example, God may have called you to individually evangelize, to be an evangelist. But it's not until you accept the calling that you receive the passion to even win souls. See, everybody that's a Christian don't have the passion to win souls.
Mm-hmm.
When you know you have the passion to win souls is when you in the restaurant and the waiter come and you, hey, how you doing? Do you know Jesus? Can I pray for you? There's no shame in your game because you see it as a soul.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know you have the passion to win souls. Wherever you are, that your conversation somehow wants to turn around to God. Give me an open door to ask them if they need prayer. Give me an open door to ask them if they know you. Give me an open door to share the gospel with them. See, we can meet every morning on the prayer line, and everybody can memorize the front page of the ministry website. But until we all accept that God has called us individually and collectively to bring change in the earth, we're going to be like the children of Israel going around in circles for the next 40 years.
Mm.
If you don't hear me say this over and over and over again, be the change that God is calling us to be. Be that change in the earth that we need. Praise God. And I'm going to go through this quickly. Okay, so let's go to the third thing. Thing that we must do is we must accept, in order to be a conduit of change, hallelujah, there has to come an impartation and an indwelling of the Spirit. We have this heart change, but we need the Holy Spirit. We need him to equip us for the change. So 1 Samuel 10:10, still in 1 Samuel 10, it says, when he and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. Hallelujah. He joined them. He was united with them. The Spirit came powerfully upon him as in the other prophets. So in order for the body of Christ to embrace the change that God is bringing, we have to all walk together in the unity of that same Spirit. So some people say, is that going to ever happen? The world says no. The world says church folk can't work together.
Mm.
The world says that we don't like each other and we don't love one another.
Mm.
The world says that we intentionally try to hurt one another and rob and steal from each other on top of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The world says that our pastors are crooked and our women are out of order. That's what the world says. And that's how the world views the church even now in this hour. But I say the devil is a liar. We as the church have to rise up and say the devil is a liar. We do love one another. We can work together in love and unity. Our leaders are God chasers and Spirit-led motivators. Our brothers love God and love their families. Our sisters are not only in order, but are called, anointed, and appointed. Our children are saved, filled, and trained in the kingdom of God. This is the way we have to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to go to the fourth thing. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The fourth thing is we must accept correct timing. Timing.
Mm.
1 Samuel 10:14-16 reads, now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, where have you been? Looking for the donkeys, he said, but when we saw that they were not found, we went to Samuel. Saul's uncle said, I'm sorry, let me get back to that. Let me start that again. Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, where have you been? Looking for the donkeys, he said. But when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. Saul's uncle said, tell me what Samuel said to you. Saul replied, he assured us that the donkeys had been found. But he didn't tell his uncle what Samuel had said about his kingship. Wonder why he didn't tell him. Because timing and your speaking out of season is so critical. For example, in the local church, the pastor is not going to tell you everything. He's not going to explain to you individually every time he makes or she makes a decision. Because unfortunately, some folks are not walking in unity. Some are not ready for the change. Some are rejecting the change God has ordained.
Mm-hmm.
So just as, you know, our individual lives go through a process of maturation or maturing, so does the church. There'll be good years, and there's going to be some not-so-good years for the church. But there's always a correct timing for a shift. The church goes through different shifts. This is what going into a new season is about. It's about shifting into a great expectancy. So I ask you, can you feel the shifting in your own life? Are you invited that something is about to happen in your life? Do you feel, even in the midst of all the challenges and the stresses and the things that are going on, do you still feel deep on the inside an excitement that something is about to happen? It can't get no worse. Something is about to happen. And so this brings me to the last and fifth acceptance of change, and that is that change is inevitable. When God has ordained change, it's going to happen whether you agree or disagree, participate or rebel, whether you stay or whether you go. When God has ordained change, change is going to happen. And let's look at this last scripture. 1 Samuel 10:20-23 reads, when Samuel had all Israel come forward by tribes, the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot.
Mm-hmm.
Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin, clan by clan, and Matri's clan was taken. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was taken. Remember, he was in the smallest of the tribes. But when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord, has the man come here yet? And the Lord said, yes. He has hidden himself among their supplies. He done went and ran and hide. They ran and brought him out, and as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. I can just imagine God saying to Saul, you can run, but you can't hide.
Right.
You know, he ran and hide, but you can't hide from God's call. You can't hide from the time and that God has set upon your life that's inevitable. Hallelujah. Listen, people, if you're gonna stay in the camp, you might as well embrace the change and decide to be the vehicle that God uses. Otherwise,
yes,
you're gonna be frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be frustrated. You're gonna be hurt. You're gonna feel like you don't see God. You're gonna feel like you can't hear God when he's talking all the time. He's talking in his word. His word never, you know, returns to him void. You're going to become frustrated if you're going to just sit in the camp and not
mm-hmm.
embrace the change that God is bringing in the earth. You have to know that God is with you in the midst of change.
Yeah.
If you knew right now that God was with you 100%, if you really, really knew that, your circumstances and your opinions of your circumstances will be irrelevant. If you believe without a shadow of a doubt, 100%, that the word of God is true, your circumstances will be irrelevant. The pain in your body will be irrelevant. because by his stripes we're healed. The challenges and the bills that you have will be irrelevant. Why? Because he, our Father, you know, owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Hallelujah. He told us he will take care of us. Praise God. If we really began to believe with 100%, and it takes practice. Let's be real about this thing. It takes practice. Nobody just wakes up and just stays at 100% anointing every day, all day long.
Right.
That's
right.
Why we have to meditate on the word of God. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to speak and decree and declare the word of God. That's why we have to stay in the place of prayer and in a posture before the Lord to receive of him. That's why we have to stay in communion with him.
Yes.
Praise God, because we have to be reminded of this thing. And as we're reminded, then we go from glory to glory. And we begin to believe in different challenges as they come. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a sprinter, I'm sure you guys have heard of him, from Jamaica, named Usain Bolt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably recorded as the fastest man in the world still today. But what I liked about him is just before a race, he would be at the starting line, and he'd do this dance and then this pose where he raised his hands, you know, toward heaven. And he'd do it right on the starting line, dance, and then he'd raise his hands up, you know, off to the side. And he was so confident that he was going to win, you know, that while the other runners were focusing and praying on the starting line, he was dancing and posing. He was just so confident that he had this thing. He was going to win it. And that confidence absolutely came to pass. He would win every race.
Right.
And I was just thinking that we ought to be like that when challenges and trials and things we don't understand come our way. We ought to do a little dance because we know that God is with us. Hallelujah. Because we know we have the victory. We ought to do a little dance. Some call it a Holy Ghost dance. You can call it whatever you want, because I know, okay, I've been challenged, but guess what? The end is that I have the victory. Hallelujah. I'm not waiting to see what the end is going to be. I'm waiting to see what God, how God is going to use me to come through this. Hallelujah.
Right.
Lord, let's do this thing. Allow the change to happen in you, and then you can be the conduit of change. Hallelujah. So what is the message? What is this message that I'm preaching tonight behind 1 Samuel 9 and chapter 10? Chapter 9 and chapter 10. I'm coming to a close with this. If Saul had not embraced the change in his life at that time, even though he didn't understand it,
mm-hmm.
he would have never been used as a conduit of change for the nation of Israel. He was a conduit of change for the entire nation of Israel, but he first had to embrace the change, and then he had to yield to the change. In fact, you find out later on in 1 Samuel that Saul did, later on he rejected that change that God was bringing to Israel, and it cost him. It cost him his three sons. It cost him his armor bearer. It cost mm-hmm. him all of his men. It cost him their lives. In 1 Samuel 31 and 6, it says, so Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together died. Praise God. We cannot reject change from God. We got to flow. When we don't understand things, understand this one thing. God is moving, and we got to go with the change. The world can't move for us faster than God, smarter than God, better than God.
Right.
Hallelujah. When you see things seemingly crazy in the world, know that God is moving. Hallelujah. And the world is just trying to keep up with what God is doing. They're trying to be smarter than God, trying to know more than God. But when you see that, know that it's not the world. It's God that's changing.
Yes.
It's him changing some things in the earth. And the way he's doing it is through his people. People of God, you've been called to bring about change, so get ready. Stop holding back on your gifts and calling because of insecurity, because of your past. Walk in the Spirit. Flow daily in a renewed mind of worship and reverence and accept what he allows. And then be that vehicle of change that he uses. Even if you don't understand the change, remember that obedience is better than sacrifice. Hold your peace. Pray and persevere. Your obedience will work for your good, but rebellion will work against you.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace the change that God is looking for and be the vehicle that God uses. I can't say it enough. As a church, let's stop sitting around allowing the world to bring about the change that God has commissioned us to be, because they can't do it effectively. They're not of God. Hallelujah. So in closing, prepare to do something great and different in this new season. Because for the change we need in America and the change we need in the world and the change we need in the body of Christ, it's going to take some right now faith. It's going to take some uncommon faith, and it's going to take some radical faith. And we can do this thing. Praise God. We can change this thing around. We can turn all of this around that we see happening in the world and in the earth. All of it. We can change it around by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for this word today, and I just pray that someone will be encouraged and ignited. It'll be like Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. Somebody will be set ablaze to be the change in the earth that you desire for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen on the network tonight, we see you guys standing by on the phone lines. We see you guys on the network, all of you that's over there on Southern Soul Artists Around the Globe Radio Network, and We Talk Radio Network. We want to appreciate you. Man, we just got some teaching on tonight. We got a word on tonight. Well, I tell you, thank you, Dr. Tamara Thomas, Bishop Thomas. She put it out there.
Yes.
Conduit, what is it? Conduits of Change.
Yes.
Man, she started out. Man, that I love, she started out. And those of you that's on the phone line, if you have any questions or you have any comments, you can hit option one. We'll definitely bring you into the conversation and bring you into the show on tonight. If you just want to encourage your heart, if you were blessed by the word that she shared on tonight, go ahead and hit option one. Let her know that you heard her. Are you a conduit of change? Because she talked about being a vehicle, transmitted, transport. I'm phrasing it in my way.
Uh-huh.
The E-Man After Show, that's what we've been trying to do over here. We've been trying to get this word out through the airways. And so putting this word out every Sunday, first Sunday night of the month, we just want to be a conduit for change because, you know, that's what we came up with. What can we do to get people back into the Bible? You know, we call it back to the Bible. And we bring different segments on. We started out with encouragement for the soul with Fred Bell. Just a way just to, you know, get the word out. Because he's given an encouraging word. And every first Sunday night, we just wanted to be that vehicle. We wanted to be that conduit of change. You know, how can we get the world to change? Through the word of God. Right. And so all year long, we've been having men and women of God to come on this platform. Why? Because this vehicle is all around the world. It's all around the globe. You know, and as she alluded, I started talking about, well, you know, are you going to be a what kind of vehicle are you? What kind of change are you bringing? And so we wanted to bring a little change to radio, Dr. Tamara, Bishop Thomas. We wanted to be that beacon of light for that person that's laying down on tonight. They're going to look within their own lives to see, how am I making a change? What am I really doing? I heard so much in this message, just so much different meat in this different message. You almost had to pick it because I really love you, Bishop. You know, when you started alluding to faith, because you know we living in an hour where you know people faith have withered, and a lot of people, to me, Bishop and Mandy, they have a lot of faith in things, but as I understand the scripture, he say, have faith in God.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't have faith in God. They have faith in a lot of other stuff, but they really don't. You know, you got to have faith in God, not in church.
Right.
You know, not in your pastor, not in the prayer line. Your faith have to be rooted in God, because he said it. See, a lot of us, you know, she talked about the traditions of church. There's so much in this, I got a whole lot out of this. She was talking about the traditions of church. And when I think about the traditions of church, and you know, and I get it, a lot of people really have faith in their church. They don't have faith in God. You understand? There's nothing wrong with it. But if your, what did he tell us? He said it is impossible to please him without faith. If you don't have faith, mm-hmm. You're not even pleasing him. You may get on the prayer line every Sunday morning that she every day as she alluded. You may go to church every Sunday morning, but your faith got to be rooted mm-hmm. in God.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's mm-hmm. rooted in God, I don't care. See, I got that radical faith that she's talking about.
Amen.
You know, mm-hmm. I come from that world. Listen, my mother used to say, I wouldn't even teach y'all this if it didn't work. I believe mm-hmm. God like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And Bishop, I tell you, I got a whole list of stuff I can talk about. We ain't got enough. I was picking and choosing stuff you were talking about.
You know, you said something of, you know, a lot of people found out during the pandemic that they mm-hmm. were not believers of God, but believers of their church. Because
yes.
when the church doors shut down, they lost
mm-hmm.
their faith.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
When the church
mm-hmm.
doors closed down, they didn't know what to do. They became hopeless and helpless because their faith was not in God. Their faith was in the church building.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The church,
yes.
you know, going the religion of just going to church.
Right,
but
right.
we're supposed to go to church, and we're supposed to fellowship in the church, and we're supposed to, you know, God established the church for a reason. But
yes.
we're supposed to have individual faith, but also collective faith.
Yes.
But a lot of people lose that individuality because they like the choir or they preacher can, oh,
mm-hmm.
he can preach or she can preach, you know. And so I'm going to stop right there, but I just wanted to acknowledge that was so true what you said because a lot of people, you know,
mm-hmm.
became lost when the pandemic hit and we could no longer congregate in the church building.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone lines, on the network, the phone lines are lit up. Nobody has phone. This happens every first Sunday night of the month. Nobody goes
right.
nowhere. They'll stay here till 2 o'clock and we let them. But
that's true.
A beautiful word. Man, I want
very,
you to jump
very,
on
very
here. I know
powerful.
You want to jump on.
Absolutely, I do. Very powerful word, Bishop Thomas. I love what you said. You said to be a conduit of change, we must first have the impartation and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And find that to be so true. A lot of times, even from receiving impartation in prayer, consecration, and even in receiving a message from God through others, a lot of times we're given that impartation so we can go out and share and release unto others, you know. And I also love how you talked about do we see the shifting in our own life and
mm-hmm.
how the world is changing, you know. And this is the season that
mm-hmm.
God has brought a lot of shiftings, you know, and a lot of times it is easy for us to see other people move and see what's happening in their lives. But
mm-hmm.
I love, it was so
mm-hmm.
powerful because you made it so personable
yes, yes.
when you said, do we see it in our own life?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, so
absolutely.
And also,
yeah,
when you talked up, go ahead. I'm sorry, Dr. Thomas.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to go on and on about some things that you said tonight. You also talked about...
She talked about it. She talked about so much.
Yeah, but about us making the change.
Yes.
You know, us, we're called to make the change in the earth. With so many changes that are occurring in the world, you know, us as believers,
mm-hmm.
we're the ones that the Lord has anointed to go out and make the change. So you proposing the questions for me, it made me, you know, question within myself, you know, how has God called me to go over and beyond, you know, the being comfortable, you know, and stepping out
mm-hmm.
on uncommon faith and radical faith to make the change that God has called me to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As you said, E-man, put the I in the...
Well, listen, I heard so much in this message, you know, because I listen with an attentive ear.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us, man, they, you know, when I talk about ears, I'm not talking about the ear on your head.
Mm-hmm.
I listen with an attentive ear, and a lot of us are so unbalanced because when you start talking about ears, you talk
mm-hmm.
about equilibrium, right?
Equilibrium. Uh-huh.
And so so many people are unbalanced. They don't hear well.
Right.
But I listened mm-hmm. real well, and I was really, when she started really talking about, you know, a radical faith and
mm-hmm.
and talking about her experience with her husband and her making a decision.
Right.
She talked about the young man racing. Well, when she was talking about the young man racing, it took me back to her husband,
mm-hmm.
them getting married. And you know, some people
mm-hmm.
think that's real orthodox. Oh,
right.
You don't even know him enough to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand
yeah.
what I'm saying? but because she knew who she was.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
She had intimacy with God.
You follow? Yeah. She heard. Mm-hmm. And so are you really sure? It's just like he told her he was going to marry. I told you, man, I was going to marry you.
You? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, we're going somewhere with this here because I'm listening real good. I told you I was going
to.
Why? Because I heard what God said. You understand what I'm saying? Because we look at things to come a different way, and we miss God and hearing him because our equilibrium is off. We're unbalanced because we don't spend enough time. You understand what
Talk
I'm saying?
About it. I love that. I love this.
Yes. And so to all of you that's out on the network tonight, how are you really hearing?
Good.
You know, she talked about the man in the pool. The pool of Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you sitting by waiting on somebody to put somebody in your life? You know, I mean, listen, I could turn this whole, see, tonight message, see, a lot of people, Bishop Thomas, they don't understand when they get a word and when they get a message. We got both tonight. We got a word and a message. You got to know how to decipher when you get keys and when you get twos. See, she have given us twos tonight, and she have given us keys because she have given us a word.
Yeah.
But all in that word, she have given us a message. And so we want you to walk away on this network tonight, on both networks tonight, understanding, are you a conduit of change? What are you doing to make a change in this hour?
Yeah, and I love what Dr. Thomas said. You know, a lot of times God calls us to do things, and we hear the Lord. But Dr. Thomas did make the statement. She said that until we accept the call, we won't gain the passion, and we, you know, and I know it can go either way, but she said, after we accept the call, we gain the passion. A lot of times we hear what God is saying, but it's not until we start moving on what God said, we gain the passion to do it. We'll look at something God tells us to do, or a directive that he gives us, and we're like, how is this going to happen, God?
Right.
Or how am I going to do that? Or we may not even feel like doing it, just to be honest, you know? And, you know, when we begin to move, that's when the zeal and the passion and the vision comes. So thank you for that, Dr. Thomas.
Man, just a beautiful word on tonight, a beautiful teaching. And all of you around the globe, all of you around on We Talk Radio Network on tonight, the owner sent her love. She's on the network tonight. All of you that's over there on Southern Soul, they're on the network on Southern Soul. People are listening to the word of God because we're living in some trying times.
We are.
And we got to be a conduit for change, you know,
even
when we, even in the boardroom.
Right.
You know, even in politics, you understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, if we to be that beacon of light, we got to make a, I mean, I know a lot of us, you know, we pray a lot, but we got to do something to make a change after we pray.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Works without, what is it? Faith without works is dead, works. Being alone. We got to do
the
work
right.
Because
let's start moving.
We listen. I can almost preach this all over again.
We can tell. We hear you.
I'm full because you know when I get certain words because I be listening when I be getting certain when I be because I'm listening to God.
Right.
She may be the mouthpiece.
Right.
But you can hear God is speaking and what he's saying.
So let me ask you, Iman. Because for every message that has been spoken, you said put the I in it, right? So what would be the I in the message for you tonight?
The I would be for me would be, you know, what I take away from it, you know, just as I alluded, I want to be that person that, I mean, when we talk about gun violence, we got a petition around right now of people signing this petition where we can get it up to, I mean, I may need to call David Evans, see, can he help me? Well, we can get these guns off the street. Being a conduit, I want to make sure if you know, I don't, I'm not a city council. I'm just sitting here talking on the radio, just being a normal person. But we got so much that's going on in the land today, and us being Christian, if we want the world to look to us, she talked about the world look at us as people with problems, and we church hurt, and we fighting all the time. They don't think we love each other. They don't know we work together in a whole lot of areas.
Absolutely.
And so I, the E-Man After Show, along with Mandy, you know, we have two shows. I go away with the I. What else can I do?
That's good.
Yeah.
What else? You know, I already started doing something, but what else can I do? to help make a change in this world today. If it's just in my family, because I got family members that ain't saved neither. We all do. You know, I got coworkers that ain't saved, but what can I do to help make a change, to bring change in their lives? When I see them in the morning, can I just say hello instead of just walking past them, don't say nothing?
Come on, that's good.
Because you don't never know. It may be that person. Why are you laughing, Dr. Amanda? It may be that person that passed you. It's just your hello may make their day.
So true. So true.
That's right.
So, you know, what can I do to make a change? I think I need to do more.
Mm.
A lot of people say, it's so much that can be done.
Yes.
And it's just the small, simple things. It don't take a lot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so what we going to do, Dr. Amanda and Bishop Thomas, we going to keep using these airways to get the word out when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to you. She's a doctor. A lot of you hearing us referring to her as Dr. Thomas because she's a doctor.
She is. She has a chiropractic in Plano, Texas.
Yes. And so with that being said, we're putting that out there because this is another way her service can be used.
Right. And also a doctor of ministry.
She's a doctor of ministry just as well. She's able to give us the word spiritually and she's able to help us naturally.
She be ministering to you and work on you at the same time.
And so we wanna always be about our Father's business, no matter what it is, because all
that's
of us
right.
are called to be about His business. And one thing that she said last year that have stuck with me, we got to understand what's spiritual when it's spiritual
Come
and
on.
What's natural when it's natural.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of us, we over-spiritualize it. So if your back is hurting after you pray and it don't go away, that means you need to go get some bones popped.
You know, chiropractors do not like
bones.
That.
Well,
come on, tell them, Dr. Thomas.
Well, help me out with your profession. What do you call it in your profession? Because I want to speak the right language.
We align your bones so that
your system is not
damaged.
That's right.
Can get the signals it needs to every organ in your body.
Yes.
So we align bones.
Yes.
Okay, they're lying, but I just want to.
I made that mistake before.
Okay,
I was corrected.
no problem, because at the end of the day, if somebody don't know that,
that's right.
If somebody
they
like me, they are because we so used to hearing about getting our bones popped.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah,
but ladies and gentlemen,
it does make a sound. It makes a noise sometimes. The exchange of gases in your capsules. It's not the bone. It's an exchange of gas, you know, in your capsule when we move the bone. And so a lot of people say, oh, they cracking my back or popping my bones. No, it's not.
Right.
Well, let me say, it feels so good. I had the opportunity to go to Dr. Thomas' office a number of times, and it feels so good.
Boy, let me tell you, I just sit in that Cadillac out there, boy.
Right?
Jesus Christ. And Bishop Thomas, since you're on here, why don't you tell us a little bit about your – nobody hit option one yet because they're just sitting here listening. This is what we do on a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
We sit here and these people listen to us. We only keep coming back because they keep coming back.
Right.
And they're coming all around the globe. They're coming all around the network. The numbers are looking great, and we added another network last Sunday night live, and they're on – Southern Soul Artists Around the Globe Network listening. And ladies and gentlemen, our endeavor is just to sit here and be who we are. And being who we are Christian people. Listen, Bishop, since I have you on here, I got two questions. You know, everybody talk about God. Everybody, you know, they going to give a, but when you start talking about Jesus, that's when the conversation changes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm all about my Father's business, but I do want to make sure we understand, you know, we're talking about Jesus. Have you accepted him? You understand what I'm saying? We are trying to bring you to the cross, and how we are trying to do that, ladies and gentlemen, on the network, because we can't see you. We'll never see you over in France. We'll never see you where this station is being heard. But we want to always give you an invitation to the cross, and that's to our Savior.
Amen.
Because in order for us to make that change, we have had a change. Because we all three of us wasn't like this at first,
mm-hmm.
but because we accepted yeah. him, we became changed.
Yes.
And so now we want to reach back and help some of you to come over so you can change.
Mm-hmm.
You know you need to be changed.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a lot of us know we need to be changed.
Yes.
How do we get that change? By accepting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so, Bishop Thomas, we just so peacock proud and happy to have you. I know you have had a busy weekend, and but we do have you on here. I do want, just before we go, I do want to allow you some shout-outs, but I want you to tell the listeners about your business over in Plano, Texas, and what all you do. Would you help us out with that?
Amen. Thank you. Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I am a chiropractor by trade, and so I own Cairo Life Health and Wellness. My voice is a little parched now, but Cairo yeah. Life Health and Wellness, and it's a health and wellness clinic, holistic health and wellness clinic, where I see patients and not just do adjustments, chiropractic adjustments on your body. You know, our nervous system is the one thing that we do not go to check out regularly. We'll go to the heart doctor and the lung doctor and so forth and so on. But our bones and our what we call a backbone, I'm trying to use common lay terms, which is our vertebral bodies in our body, those are the things that actually house our nervous system, you know, from our brain all the way down. And so all of our nerves and signals from our brain go out to our organs in our body and tell it to, you know, it tells your heart to beat and all of that. You don't tell your heart when to beat, you know, your brain does. And so our bones in our back is what protects and kind of houses around and puts a shield around our nervous system. And not many times we go years and years and years without checking that system. And we're probably 60% in failure, heart failure, kidney failure, whatever, failure before we go check it, because now the symptoms have come upon us. So checking your nervous system and getting chiropractic adjustments is something that everyone needs. And I guarantee you, once you begin to get those systems checked, you will definitely be able to tell once you have stopped and not continued. But we do that, as well as we have a hyperbaric chamber, an oxygen chamber in our office. That helps with healing and helps with blood flow and red blood cells and oxygen to your body and your brain. If you're ever having, you know, brain fog, sometimes when you're going through even menopause and things like this, sometimes you start having a lot of brain fog. And so the oxygen and hyperbaric therapy helps in those instances with breathing conditions and things like that. We have what E-Man refers to as the Cadillac chair, which some of our ladies refer to as the boyfriend chair, which is an infinity massage chair that massages every aspect of your body, from your fingers to toes to head to hips to everything.
Yeah, Lord.
and then we have a decompression table. A lot of people know about, you know, herniated discs and things like that. Well, we have a table that helps to decompress the spine so that it's not putting pressure on your disc. And we have had people come in who, you know, prefer not to have surgery. And I won't go into that, but we put them on that decompression table, and that decompression table helps them to help their disc to actually kind of like fall back into the place and position that it needs to be, so that they are relieved of their stress and pain and inflammation. And so we just have a lot of different tools, shockwave therapy, of course, hot and cold therapy. We have a rehab room and just different techniques and tools that we use to help those that are in pain and then those who just want to maintain health and wellness.
Yes. And so, Dr. Tamara, if a person want to contact you, how do they reach you in your office?
Yes. You can contact me at 214-303-7692, or you can email me at Dr. Tamara19@gmail.com.
One more time, doctor.
Dr. Tamara, DrTamara19 at gmail.com. That is for the chiropractors. If you want to email me about anything spiritual, you can email me at bishoptdthomas@gmail.com.
Yes. And so, ladies and gentlemen, on the network, on the phone lines, I just had to repeat that because, you know, when we write it, we're like, huh, what she say? What she say? Let me get that lady. well, Bishop, listen, we done had a two for one. We got a bishop and a doctor tonight.
Yes.
And so we know you guys on the network have been blessed all around the globe. Southern Soul Artists Around the Globe, radio.com. Listen, this is what you get on the E-Man After Show. It is our endeavor to be a conduit of change in your life in some type of way. Well, Bishop, me and Dr. Amanda, me and Mandy, we are just so yellow-footed later. I'm trying to use some big words.
Oh, my Lord, please. Bishop, you need to do a teaching about this.
I'm trying to think of some big words to you. I got two doctors I'm sitting, you know, I'm just E-Man, you know. I ain't got no...
well, you know, Dr. Thomas is a medical doctor, and we're going to send you to her for an examination.
Y'all are too much.
But we appreciate you tonight.
Man, you're powerful.
Ma'am.
Powerful man of God. I said you're not just E-Man. You're a powerful man of God. I appreciate you.
All right now.
Thank you so kind. Listen, I receive that. I'm all of that in a bag of chips, dip, peanut, and Diet Coke. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, Lord.
See, a lot of people think that's arrogant, but Bishop Thomas, you know, it is my confidence. It may offend some people's insecurities, but I'm very confident.
Yes, you are.
You know, but we really appreciate you taking your time.
Yes.
I know you're real busy and having a busy weekend. You know, we just thank God for you taking our time tonight to come speak to our listeners and partake this word, conduit for change. And so, Bishop, we getting ready to let you go. We got 5 minutes. We got to do 2 hours worth of content. You know, took us 11. Ha, shata. Because by 10:30, man, to be yawning.
Yep.
Because, you know, we done did two shows tonight.
So
but we appreciate you.
I just wanted to say thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity to share what was in my heart. I love you both so very much and appreciate you guys so very much.
Well,
all right, we love you back.
Well, we love you back, and may the Lord God bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you, and we just pray restoration back into you on tonight. And you have a blessed night and a blessed week, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Bishop Tamara Thomas. Man, she just, you know, spilled out her heart on tonight, and she blessed our hearts, and we just thank her for taking her time out tonight, sharing with us. And those of you on Southern Soul Artists Around the Globe Network, we want to appreciate you. The men, the phone lines are lit up. The networks are lit up on tonight. Well, Mandy, I tell you, it's been another blessed night. It's gonna get harder and harder picking somebody for next year. You know what I'm saying? Why?
Right.
Because I got to go back through all these sermons, all these teachings, and these messages, and just, you know, pick somebody for the 2024.
Right.
Or, you know, because a few more pastors have, and I told them I was running out.
Mm-hmm.
We might have to do it again in 2024.
Maybe.
Yeah, because, you know, the few pastors that want. Because, you know, what's funny, man, that people, they sit back and they watch and they sit back and they check it out first.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they see it, take, oh, you know what, I love, you know, I ain't going to even go there because I, you know, because, you know, we get real spiritual, you know, you give people opportunity, but then when they really see, oh, now I see what he's doing.
Right.
You understand? Not understanding that's been the vision all along. You understand what I'm saying? Because most people don't think. They don't think certain stuff work.
Right.
Because I was told it wasn't going to work being on the network. You know? Man, they start doing Bible study. They going to shut you down. I said, the devil is a lie.
Right.
You understand? And it have become a great segment over here on We Talk Radio Network. And people are enjoying it all around the globe and all around the network. Well, we appreciate you guys. But, man, just before we go, I'd like to give you an E-Man thought for tonight.
Okay.
And my E-Man thought is simply this. We may all be different fishes, but in Christendom, we all swim together.
That's awesome.
That's my thought for tonight. Let me repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
We may all be different fish, but in Christendom, in Christianity, we all swim together.
That's powerful.
Yes. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's been the E-Man After Show for tonight. We hope you guys, and we know you guys, was blessed by the word. Sleep on that word on tonight.
Yes.
Be a conduit of change. And, Amanda, we'll be back next Sunday night.
All right.
For the E-Man After Show. We Talk Radio Network family, we want to thank you on tonight. Southern Soul Artists Around the Globe Network, we want to thank you on tonight. Until next Sunday night, Mandy, let's thank
B.I.G.
Because we believe in God.
Because God believes in me.
And we're all living proof.
Until next time, good night, everyone.
Be blessed. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.